Good morning. It's 7:04. This is KDNK. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh. Ninth Judicial District Chief Judge James Boyd has effectively stalled progress on the Garfield County Democratic Party's case against Republican County Commissioner John Martin. Here's more. Judge James Boyd filed what's called a scheduling order Thursday, October 27th, in response to 9th Judicial District Attorney Sherry Kaloya's request for a special prosecutor from the 5th Judicial District.
And a few days after the motion was filed, the court filed what is called a scheduling order in which he set times and dates for the respondent, John Martin in this instance, to file a response to the motion for special prosecutor.
According to the order, a copy of which KDNK has obtained, John Martin has 21 days from the 27th to respond to Kaloya's request. Kaloya says that what Judge Boyd has done is unusual.
It's unusual to ask for a response from the other side at this stage of the proceedings, and I'm not at all sure what the judge is expecting to receive.
The Garfield County Democratic Party formally asked Kaloya to do this earlier in October in order to move along their case against Martin, accusing him of embezzlement of county funds. Kaloya is asking for a special prosecutor because she believes she has a conflict of interest. John Martin said on October 12th during a candidate forum in Glenwood Springs that he was threatened the day before the forum by the Garfield County Democrats to resign and leave the county or face an indictment. When asked this week why Judge Boyd decided to issue a scheduling report in response to Kaloya's request, James Bradford, Garfield County Clerk of Courts, told KDNK that the case is under seal and he's unable to comment on any aspect of it. John Martin told KDNK on Thursday, November 3rd, that he had not yet made a decision about Kaloya's request. Kaloya says she's confused about why John Martin would have a say in whether she has a conflict of interest that could affect an investigation into his own behavior.
He doesn't get to pick who investigates him, and it would be very difficult for him to say that I did not have a conflict. So the procedure that the judge is using is, it doesn't fit this situation.
What would fit this situation?
Generally, the court looks at the pleading and looks at the conflict that is cited, which I did put in there, and then makes a determination whether there is a conflict. Quite frankly, if a DA says there's a conflict, it's very difficult for the judge to say, oh, no, you don't have a conflict. So I would have anticipated that he would have signed the order and allowed the special prosecutor to do the investigation.
It's unknown whether this case will continue should Jeff Cheney or Chip McCrory win the election. The Pitkin County Open Space and Trails Board voted Thursday to recommend the purchase of 10 acres near the wilderness boundary in the upper Hunter Creek Valley to eliminate the potential threat of development there. Made up of side-by-side mining claims, the property is high on the ridge to the north side of the valley floor. But this is not the case with a portion of the White River National Forest above Edwards, where a large private housing development has been proposed on a 680-acre forest inholding. Wilderness Workshop says the developer wants to build 19 private estates 2,000 feet from the valley floor on a new, possibly paved, two-lane road. The area provides important habitat for deer and elk, sensitive plant populations, and lynx. And this week, the Bureau of Land Management begins to gather up to 50 wild horses from the Sandwash Herd Management Area in northwestern Colorado using a bait trapping method. BLM will work with its partner group, the Sandwash Advocacy Team, to identify horses to be placed into an adoption program. Some mares that are not removed will be treated with PZP, a contraceptive that delays fertilization, and released back to the range. Most of the horses removed will be placed in the Great Escape Mustang Sanctuary in Arapahoe County. KDNK News Director Gavin Dahl looked at newspaper candidate endorsements from around our region and produced this summary for those of you still deciding how to vote, including clips of KDNK interviews with reporters covering the election.
Let's start at the top of the ballot with the presidential race. The Glenwood Springs Post-Independent is making no official endorsement. Publisher and editor Randy Essex wrote a column expressing his own personal view that Donald Trump will be a disaster as president. The Durango Herald wrote Hillary Clinton is the only qualified candidate in the race, and the Denver Post endorsed Clinton, writing, "A President Hillary Clinton on her worst day would be so superior to a President Donald Trump on any day that we marvel this race was ever competitive. We urge voters to dump Trump." For U.S. Senate, the Post-Independent, Durango Herald, Denver Post, and Grand Junction Sentinel all endorse incumbent Democrat Michael Bennett against Republican challenger Daryl Glenn, with the Herald writing his approach is better for Colorado, and the Sentinel adding that Bennett has earned it by delivering results. For U.S. House of Representatives in the 3rd Congressional District, the Denver Post endorsed incumbent Republican Scott Tipton, while the Post-Independent, Durango Herald, Crested Butte News, and Grand Junction Sentinel endorsed Democrat Gail Schwartz. The Sentinel wrote, "We need lawmakers who can put the needs of the district over party interests or their own." Scott Tipton's campaign repeatedly ignored KDNK's requests for an interview. Here's the Colorado Independent's Marianne Goodland on a key issue this campaign.
SG Interest had written a bill that Congressman Tipton copied word for word in large part. So oil and gas companies with leases in the Thompson Divide could trade their lands for plots elsewhere in the state. And the biggest beneficiary of that would have been SG Interest of Houston. SG Interest employees have been the largest campaign donors to Tipton's reelection campaign.
As for State Senate District 8, the Post-Independent endorsed Democrat Emily Tracy over incumbent Republican Randy Baumgartner, writing that he is aloof and unhelpful. Baumgartner ignored KDNK requests for an interview. The Post-Independent wrote, "Baumgartner stands up for people driving on bald tires and clogging I-70 and intentionally spewing smoke at bystanders and thinks that snowmaking means there's no climate change. Tracy believes the state can support community efforts to ease the attainable housing crunch and wants to improve child protection systems and examine how to lower health care costs." For 9th Judicial District Attorney, the Post-Independent wrote, "Incumbent Sherry Kaloya, Republican Jeff Cheney, and Independent Chip McRory are all experienced attorneys who have thoughtful plans for the office. Because he has been both a prosecutor and defense attorney, because he's not beholden to either party or the sheriff, and because he exudes common sense, we support McRory." The Post-Independent didn't endorse either candidate for Garfield County Commissioner. In their editorial, the paper wrote that John Martin is full of hubris and considers himself the king of the county, but the paper has yet to see a candidate who's qualified to take his place, including Democrat John Acha. For Pickens County Commissioner, the Aspen Daily News likes independent Scott Ryder just fine, but endorsed Democrat Greg Poschman, writing that he has the right outlook. Aspen Daily News supports Question 1A in Pickens County, writing of the Open Space and Trails program, "We hope the department remains an important part of Pickens County long into the future." The differences of opinion on the statewide ballot issues were interesting to note as I looked at newspaper endorsements around the region, but on Amendment 69, Colorado Care, the Post-Independent, Durango Herald, Crested Butte News, Grand Junction Sentinel, Steamboat Today, and Denver Post are all opposed. Steamboat Today wrote, "The aim of Amendment 69 is a laudable goal, but it's how this huge statewide system would be executed that concerns us." On Amendment 70, the increase to Colorado's minimum wage, the Denver Post, Grand Junction Sentinel, and Steamboat Today are opposed, while the Durango Herald, Crested Butte News, and Post-Independent support it. The PI wrote that increasing the minimum wage will help the working poor. Amendment 71, the so-called Raise the Bar initiative that would make it harder for grassroots organizers to get constitutional amendments in front of voters for consideration, split the editorial boards of papers. The Durango Herald, Grand Junction Sentinel, Steamboat Today, and Crested Butte News all support Amendment 71. Denver Post and the Post-Independent oppose it, with the PI writing, "The signature rule would allow only well-financed groups to clear the bar. Follow the money on this. It's about blocking anti-fracking measures." Here's the Colorado Independent's Kelsey Ray.
"The cost of running a campaign under Raise the Bar becomes so high that only rich people, rich groups, and wealthy industries can afford to run them. It's a pretty well-known, I'd say, fact among anyone who tries to run a ballot initiative campaign that no matter how much grassroots support you have to pay signature gatherers. And so in the end, it does come down to money."
Amendment 72 would increase the taxes on tobacco products in Colorado. Colorado. Steamboat Today is against it, but the Post-Independent, Durango Herald, Grand Junction Sentinel, and Denver Post support it, with the Denver Post writing, "Smoking kills 5,000 Coloradans a year, and the public incurs almost $2.9 billion in tobacco-related health care costs per year." Proposition 106 was opposed by the Denver Post, but supported by the Post-Independent, which called it logical and compassionate, the Durango Herald, which called it well-crafted, Crested Butte News, Steamboat Today, and the Grand Junction Sentinel, which wrote, "The measure gives the dying the peace of mind that they won't suffer needlessly." Proposition 107 was opposed by the Post-Independent, writing, "How a state party allocates its presidential delegates is party business. Otherwise, it has the support of the Denver Post, Durango Herald, Grand Junction Sentinel, and Steamboat Today." They wrote, "We think it's time for Colorado voters to get off the sidelines." Proposition 108 is supported by the Grand Junction Sentinel, Durango Herald, Denver Post, and the Post-Independent. The PI wrote, "Closed primaries around the country have empowered the extreme fringes of parties. And if candidates knew they had to appeal to independents and moderates, we might end up with office holders who are less extreme, helping break partisan deadlock." Oh, and don't forget about the University of Colorado Board of Regents at-large race. The Durango Herald endorsed Democrat Alice Madden because of her vision and experience, while the Denver Post endorsed Republican Heidi Ganahl, writing she could be the type of moderate who can maintain the Republican hold on the Board of Regents without pushing traditional conservative principles that don't fit on college campuses dedicated to diversity and equality. Here's the Colorado Independent's Corey Hutchins.
This race, if the Democrat wins, could bring Democrats into control over this university system's Board of Regents. Right now, as it stands, Alice Madden says the regents don't really mention or support or celebrate the university's research on climate change, and they don't really promote it. Elect me, and when I get on the board, with the Democrats in control, we will celebrate and promote all of this research that's being done at the University of Colorado on climate change.
So that's my rundown of what our journalistic institutions have written about this election. Thanks again to each of the Colorado Independent reporters who spoke to us throughout the campaign season. You can read all of these papers' endorsements on their websites and read more from our friends at the Indy at coloradoindependent.com. For Katie and Kay, I'm Gavin Dahl.
KD&K does not endorse candidates or ballot items. You can listen to all of our election coverage at kdnk.org. Find the news section on the site menu and click 2016 election. Grammy Award winner Kathy Mattea performs at Rifles Youth Theater tonight. She spoke with KD&K's Steve Skinner in October. Here's a clip from that conversation.
Well, we're excited to be coming out your way.
Yeah, coming to the Rifle Theater on November 4th at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
And you can go to youththeater.com for information and tickets. And this is kind of like a living room show. Tell us about that.
Well, the show is just me and Bill, and we've played together for 26 years. So we kind of breathe together as musicians, and it's a lot of fun for us. I mean, we can sort of get spontaneous. And so the idea is that we pull out these new songs, and we sort of lead people into, you know, the stories that go with them. And then we do, you know, some of the iconic ones that it's really about the songs. And then we take requests and we play songs that, you know, Bill knows everything I've ever done because he's played with me so long. So it's just a celebration, really, of singing and music and songs and being together. And that's really how I got into music in the beginning. And so it kind of feels great to sort of shed all the... I've never been out without a band before. So it feels kind of naked and kind of thrilling and kind of spontaneous and really full circle to just make it about music again.
Kathy Mattea and Bill Cooley do the Ute in Rifle tonight from 7 to 10. Tickets are at utetheater.com. Stream flows throughout the Roaring Fork watershed are running between 71 and 90% of normal, below average for this time of year, says the Roaring Fork Conservancy. And groundwater is what's helping the flow right now since there's been so little snow. The U.S. Geological Survey published a study last spring showing that over 50% of the stream flow in the upper Colorado River Basin is sustained by groundwater.